Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome to episode 88 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and once again, with me on the journey are my co-hosts, Mr. Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
Miss Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, everybody.
And today, we are going to be talking about some exciting stuff. I mean, we got a whole geek cornucopia going on here today, so there's a lot to talk about, but up first, I mean, let's just start with a big thing, right? We're coming in hot today because we've gotten the first trailer for Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Black Widow. So, that Black Widow trailer dropped last night, and I would have to say it is so fetch right now, but
oh, God.
I'm just kidding. It is awesome. It was good job. So, we got the first trailer for Black Widow, and of course, if you don't know the movie, it's, you know, bringing back Scarlett Johansson's Natasha Romanoff for a story that takes place after Captain America Civil War and before Avengers Infinity War, during that kind of murky period where Natasha and Steve Rogers and his whole Secret Avengers team were on the run. And this sees Natasha go off solo and having to go back to Russia to kind of settle some things that were left unsettled with the Black Widow program and all, and other spy intrigue type stuff. And we get to meet, and this trailer does a very, it's a teaser, so, you know, you've seen Marvel teasers 1,000 times. They're basically kind of cool concept trailers, just, here's the overall concept of this movie. And this one kind of, and they pick and highlight something, some aspect of the story to kind of put in our faces for Infinity Wars, like Thanos, blah, blah, blah. But in this one, it's Florence Pugh as Yelena, I forget how to say her last name.
Belova.
Yeah, the other Black Widow from, who popped up in 90s comics and is, you know, quote unquote, Natasha's sister in the sense that they're both from the Black Widow program. I don't know if this movie will change that and make them like actual sisters. I don't know.
Yeah, because there was like mention of family in this trailer.
And yeah, we're going to get to that whole thing, but I think this was like a family. It could be taken two ways. It's an actual family or it's a family unit. They're like Russia's little Avengers, basically. The Russian Avengers with these two widows. They're kind of whoever. We still don't know who, what's her name, is playing. Rachel Weisz is playing. But obviously she's kind of some kind of older commander type person. Mm-hmm. David Harbour as Red Guardian is like the Soviet Captain America.
Already looks great.
Yeah, and he already looks great, and he brings a lot of humor. So let's just jump into the trailer. The first thing I liked is I liked that they went like with the It approach and did like gave us an actual full kind of scene or sequence from the movie, which is kind of Natasha coming to her sister's apartment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the unique way they kind of have to bond again as sisters.
It was beautiful choreography.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Yeah. And it showed off a lot of the fight action and made us be like, okay, yeah, this is Marvel legit. Mm-hmm. Like, and gave us a quick, succinct introduction to who Yelena is. Which this trailer does in general, does a good job, and Florence Pugh kind of does a good job of like nailing this kind of detached sarcasm, but also the fight action and stuff like that. So then we get to meet some other characters. Like I said, Rachel Weisz's character is kept mysterious, but we do get another shining moment from David Harbour as Red Guardian, who is a Soviet Captain America, who looks like he's been in a gulag for quite some time before it looks like Widow and her companions maybe spring him, if I'm kind of putting together the events of the trailer correctly. She comes flying in her white suit. They have a jailbreak sequence, it looks like. and he gets out. And yeah, David Harbour looks like he's going to be chewing scenery in like the best kind of way.
So good.
He's more subdued in Stranger Things. It's kind of like dry humor, but Hellboy, for those five people who saw it, like showed off that he has like a larger kind of charisma than that. And this looks like this would be a role that will kind of really nail both.
Yeah. So.
I was thinking that from Stranger Things, Jim Hopper, right? He was kidnapped by the Russians, right? And then they turned him into this Russian version of Cap. And it's awesome. Just bringing it full circle. I'm just kidding. No, but
this is a crossover.
Right?
You just started a fan video.
I just thought that's so
100%
cool.
Now going to get
that's back. Like the first thing, because we left him with the Russians and Stranger Things. Oh,
there's a whole
so
Reddit
cool.
thread dedicated
yeah,
to that.
Inspired an entire
fan. Oh, it will be.
Video.
It'll be that way after this airs.
I hope that it's, I hope that I started something.
You're responsible for this, Janelle, putting this in the internet for
I
better
own
or for
it.
Worse.
I also think that she looks like a stormtrooper in the white suit. Which I love.
Oh. Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's just all these other references
let's talk
to other
fashion.
Things.
Yeah, as weird. Always, like, what was that? A carbon fiber, carbon. What was that anime? Now I can't remember it.
And you're cursing.
I'm sorry. I'm
you're derailing
wow.
the podcast. You're cursing. Wow, this is great.
Oh man,
no, producers, ladies and gentlemen.
Now
here
I
we
gotta
go.
Find it.
Was
go
it the
ahead
one that
me.
She like actually Scarlett played in a movie in the live action movie? What was that one again?
Oh, no, not Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is some Ghost
kind
in the Shell.
Kind of some reference
there.
To that.
No, the
no,
one.
No, please, no. I don't think. I'm pretty sure Scarlett Johansson will not let them ever. Make reference to Ghost in the Shell ever again.
But I will say that in this trailer, the music is so
oh, yeah. That's, I mean, that's another thing
intense.
I do want to mention. Like, the actual music for this is kind of cool. It's kind of like, we were talking with BD, who is back out on the road right now doing all kinds of secret stuff we need him to do. But one thing I did hear mentioned is, it is kind of, it's a unique theme we hear in this trailer. I hope it's the actual music for the movie.
Me too.
But I was just watching Captain America: The Winter Soldier today, and it is almost like in the vein of those Captain America movies. Winter Soldier's theme was kind of that kind of weird electro synth sound. Like whenever he came on, it was a lot more obviously horror themed because it was a villain. But this is pretty cool. I mean, if this is the type of soundtrack for the entire Marvel spy action genre, like I'd be pretty cool because
Aeon Flux is what I was thinking.
You were
that's
not
what
even
I was
close.
Thinking.
There you go.
One of the things I was most surprised by actually was the tone of the trailer, because like when this was kind of when we were theorizing like what this movie would be, we were like, oh, it could be a very gritty, you know, spy noir thing, and at least this trailer does not give off that vibe.
No, I've been telling people that to me it looks like Marvel doing a James Bond movie, but with with Black Widow.
I mean,
that's what it feels like.
I feel more like Mission Impossible vein than James, so self serious like James Bond can be.
Yeah,
Mission Impossible does things more with a wink
this
and a nod.
I mean, this looked like Mission Impossible too.
And that's not
too.
A bad thing. I love the Mission Impossible
movies.
So
do I. And I was like, and I was happy about that. In fact, my comment was, I hope they keep just ripping off Mission Impossible for her, like Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Like, I hope Black Widow and Falcon and Winter Soldier feel like companion pieces to like Winter Soldier, the actual movie.
Yeah.
And so far, it looks like Black Widow does. And I hope that, that continues with Falcon and Winter Soldier. Same kind of high octane tension, music, spy action, because I think this is going to be important, and we've had this conversation kind of going forward, which leads us into this whole discussion I had written down here about, you know, how is this as a kickoff to Phase 4? Marvel got really good in Phase 2, especially, Phase 2, about doing the genre blending with Winter Soldier, Guardian, stuff like that. And so, like, spy, Bourne, Mission Impossible, espionage action, I really want them to do, so that, you know, we can feel confident going forward that, like, Shang-Chi is going to be an awesome, like Marvel style kung fu action movie. Yeah. Like Eternals is going to be an awesome whatever the hell it's going to be. Like nobody knows.
Yeah.
But like or a historical thing. I don't know.
It would
but,
instill some confidence going forward. Even though I don't really. It's not like I don't have confidence in them. But these are uncharted waters.
Yeah, we're in uncharted.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory. And it's kind of like Marvel having to prove itself all over again.
And it's also weird to, we're doing like a prequel, we're rewinding time. That's a lot to handle. And I'm curious, like when we're watching the entire sequence of all these movies together again, as many of us do, would we watch this after Civil War or would we watch it after Endgame?
Oh, man. I think I put it after Venom. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That was for you, BD. That's
for you, BD. Dead You're silent. Listening out there.
No, that's a good question because, people typically watch them in...
like the order of release.
Yeah, not okay. the order, but yeah, that would be a good point. Yeah. I would personally probably watch it in between.
Okay. Yeah, and I might make the change, but there's also a question of how this will potentially... I mean, it seems right now like we're in a prequel story that's set before Infinity War, but we also don't know... I feel like this is going to be an undercover delivery system for opening up some more of the space.
Sure. Well, that's it, right? Like that's even just in stuff that I've heard about the movie. Like this movie will serve as a very big launch pad for the future of the MCU, which is weird because presumably this movie is a flashback, and obviously, I mean, obviously it has to be. It's got Black Widow's dead, but
spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
We're happy you finally made it out of captivity.
But like I said, I think like it'll be really interesting to see how this sets that up. But the one thing I did want to mention was de-aged William Hurt looked really weird.
Yeah, that did look weird.
Not after seeing The Irishman, I was fine with it.
But it was weird because like he looked younger, but had like old man stance.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it looked off. I thought it looked. He's on screen.
I don't think we're at a point where we need to de-age William Hurt. Like,
well, it depends on what this scene is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of unknowns. I mean, people have already picked out. I mean, you always got to. I was joking about talking fashion, but Black Widow fashion is like one of the most important markers of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And
her hair alone.
What her hair looks like. What she's wearing. Like. What time period that's from, like, that was biggest mystery going into Endgame. Mm-hmm. And this seems to be playing with the same thing. Like, there's two shots of a convoy in this, and, like, they seem like it's the same thing, but it's not. Like, one is with William Hurt, and it's obviously in the past. Jim and I were talking, like, could we see a scene with, like, the job where she was saving a scientist and got shot by Winter Soldier is a major part of her story.
I was going to ask that.
That will be, like, where cameos. She started messing up and is a Black Widow and... kind of falling out of favor. Like, there's so many ways that this could connect to things in the past, and I still maintain that a big part of this kind of I feel like in this Phase 4 storyline we're building towards something more like a Masters of Evil or some kind of Earth-based supervillain syndicate, just because the Mandarin's in Shang-Chi. You obviously have somebody like Taskmaster and whoever's pulling those strings in this movie. Whatever happens with, like, you know, some of this other stuff in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Zemo's coming back. There's all these threads that show that they could connect to a group or some kind of syndicate, like pulling strings in Phase 4, taking advantage of like the Avengers kind of being not dismantled, but without Iron Man, without Captain America in this kind of uncertain time or even like a Dark Reign type thing. So that's definitely something you could launch here by giving a backstory of who Black Widow worked for and what they've been up to, and then flashing forward to today into like where are these people now and like what's going on with that. So
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so this seems like a easy little prequel, but you know, Marvel's doing a lot of heavy lifting. I mean, they didn't just do things like add Legend of the Ten Rings to Shang-Chi for no reason. Like,
well, and it's easy. Not easy. They have the span of time to do it too, because of the nature of this movie, it's covert. Everything's underground, like as far as like it's not out in the open. You can plant the idea of an organization or whatever and just say, well, they've been keeping low profile, like they've been doing all this stuff underneath, and then reveal it. Because I mean, we're talking about a time jump too. I mean, she's referred to it as a franchise. So I imagine they'll be building on this, and there's a span of like 5 years that she was around doing stuff that she could have easily gone back to, you know, whatever part that we leave off with here. So there's a lot of stuff they can do, and it's relatively easy to just say, hey, it happened.
And I wouldn't mind a sequel that, like, if they add more chapters to this about kind of building up to, like, why she made the decision in Endgame and, like, felt like that was cool. Like, she had handled everything and was like, all right, this is the end of my story. Or if we follow Florence Pugh's Yelena, if she's a breakout star, and then she kind of continues and carries that baton. I mean, all of that's interesting. So looking forward to more. Now I have high expectations for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, so...
Same.
The more I see of the Taskmaster design, though, I'm less and less a fan of it. I'm hoping, like, when we see it... There's glimpses of it that I like, where Taskmaster is fighting Red Guardian in that sort of real quick scene, that it looked better than it did when Taskmaster's popping out of the car, but...
What is it about that bothers you? curious.
The mask is really is a lot darker and way more bubble-headed than I think.
Hmm. I mean, we never see what he's like under the hood. I mean, it's due also to a skull mask.
That's a costume hood, that is so
comic booky.
Yeah, that's so hard to get. I mean, he literally wears a hood and he looks like straight out of He-Man. Yeah, and you just accept it.
He looks like Skeletor and like no fighter.
There are people who are comparing the movie costume to like Lord Zedd, and like I kind of see it.
No. Wow. No. I mean, if anything, like
Lord Zedd looks cooler.
Like,
see,
dude, he looks like one of the dudes in Edge of Tomorrow, if nothing else. But there you go. But helped you out with that insult. But yeah, I mean, I'm not. But again, like this is Taskmaster. Like I'm not too hung up on. Like, he's not that important of a character that I'm like, oh my god, this is not accurate. And plus, people have been doing wild designs with him lately, whether it's in alternate universes, the Spider-Man game, like, we've gotten different.
I mean, the ultimate universe Taskmaster is what
we've gotten some good Taskmaster designs.
Yeah, but this looks like ultimate universe Taskmaster. I mean, this is in the same vein as it. So, like, I'm not too, like, And if he can do the kind of photo reflex thing, that's going to be cooler than any costume drawbacks. Which, if you don't know, Taskmaster has a power to basically, once he sees somebody do something physically, like an acrobat or a martial arts fighter, he can mimic it. And in the ultimate version, he can even mimic superpowers. So, like,
wow, that's
so cool. That'll be kind of cool effect if they get that. So, looking for more for Black Widow. It's going to be exciting. Looking for that full trailer sometime next year. So, yeah, awesome. So, we're moving from that trailer over to the DC Universe.
Whee!
To talk about Crisis.
It's so cool. This is getting me back on that light.
That was such a great reaction.
Yeah.
Wee! You do Blue's Clues, I'll do Wee.
I loved it.
It even rhymes with DC. It was perfect transition.
Oh, so good.
So, like, yeah, Crisis on Infinite Earths, the thing that has been kind of teased to us since the beginning of The Flash, is now happening this Sunday. It begins. Yeah, this week. We're getting into Crisis, and we got the full trailer for it today. And man, if you have been a DC / and or Arrowverse fan, I mean, this was a good time. There were some chills I got from this.
So much going on.
Just like, so much going on. And just so many great little, just the beginning of how many great Easter eggs.
Can I be Jump the Gun Jim here?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Somebody should.
That Smallville sequence was awesome.
Tom Welling?
When Tom Welling shows up. And he's like, are you, when, like, they don't pan to him, and you, but I recognize the farmhouse. I'm like, oh my God, right? And then they turn it, and he looks like,
oh my God. That level of a Smallville stand? You recognize the farmhouse?
Dude, it looks, it did a really good job.
That's where it has to be. We can't imagine them doing it anywhere else.
But, like, it's so, he turns it like he's older, but, like, you could still, you still see it. Oh my God, man. And to know that Erica Durance is just also in this.
Just remind you how long ago that show was.
Yeah, but he looks more like Superman now. Dude, it's so
I looked at him and went, yeah, I still see it. Like, that's Superman.
Yeah, I even knew that. And I'm not like a huge.
I'm so excited.
We're still not going to see him in a costume.
That's fine.
Really? It's okay.
Whatever.
I didn't know that.
Cool.
Yeah, we already got a new Superman in a costume. That's all good.
And
we love him.
On Smallville. All right.
You got Smallville.
That's what we already got.
Smallville was fantastic.
This is the perfect opportunity to do that.
No.
Tyler Hoechlin's back as Superman. He's Superman now. Brandon Routh is getting to put the suit on back again. Like, that's good enough. We just need a Clark Kent.
I want more Superman.
No, it just gets crazy when you start.
Why do you? It was really interesting, though. Really weird and interesting to see how they're approaching the Bruce Wayne of it all, too. Like, where you're Bruce walking down the stairs in a very mechanical.
Well, that's just Kingdom Come.
Well, right, I mean, I know. So when you read it, in the comics, you don't necessarily. When I read it, I thought it was going to be like more fluid as opposed to like it is. There is machinery. There's like machinery there. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
You missed the whole thing. Batman was like a robot.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with robots.
Yeah, I liked that it was more of a.
That was the whole kind of metaphor. Was Batman had become like less human.
I thought it was
human.
Cool.
It was all kind of detached. He was running Gotham City through drones.
Yeah.
And like had become kind of like more mechanical man himself. Like, yeah.
The Kate stuff is interesting too.
I hope he puts on the armor. Then that would be awesome.
Oh my God!
Yeah, some armor.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
this is also one of those times where it sucks that like the TV and the movies don't.
Yeah, align.
Whatever. Because who wants to? Who else would love to see Gal in like the Kingdom Come like full on armor? Which we're probably honestly going to see in the upcoming movie.
I really hope. I don't know, but I would
old school
love
Green Lantern. Oh my God!
Anyway. If there is a nod to. This DCEU in one way or another, whether it's a Red Sky Earth or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard for people. I saw a bunch of people when this trailer came out. It's been seen in a few other promos, but they make a very clear shot of Iris like dusting away, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, it's like Thanos!" And it's like, "All right, we get it. People dusting away is a Thanos thing, but at the same time, like,
yeah, but Thanos wasn't doing it.
Before. I was gonna say it's been around for so long.
Yeah, it's on Infinite Earth. Yeah, it's
recency bias a little bit there."
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even getting down that rabbit hole.
Like, that's been in comics
you just
and
don't
movies and
DC
TV.
Crisis. Yeah. Like, yeah, we can't talk to you. Just be angry in that corner of the internet. But, you know, this is awesome. I mean, just a little thing. Seeing Black Lightning in it, like,
oh, that
finally
was great
interact
too.
With everybody. Seeing Superman choking out other Superman and some pictures we got, like, right after the trailer. Yeah, Brandon Routh's Kingdom Come Superman is just putting the squeeze on Tyler Hoechlin's new Superman. Yeah, seeing just Kevin Conroy possibly now being confirmed as the Arrowverse Batman because Kate recognizes him.
Yeah, that was
Bruce. And we were like, oh, this is not alternate universe. Like, in her universe, like, he's
that is him.
Batman, which
well,
is
Well, that and also
awesome.
In the screenshots that they, or the stills that they put out, there's a scene where Kate and Bruce are talking and the Batman suit that's in the first episode of Batwoman
is in that
is in the background, so but all dusty
him.
And spiderwebby. So, so it's got to be. That's just another connection, which
that's
is so,
so
cool.
Now, here's
that
the thing.
That Batman suit's ugly as sin, though, oh, but my whatever. God,
yeah. Well, I like the Batwoman,
the Batwoman
redesign
costume.
Of it. Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
The Batman costume.
So, do you think it's like seeing all these connections and stuff that like Batwoman and Black Lightning and Supergirl, I think,
are all
in different ones. Will they all be in one?
Well, you see, unless they turn back time or whatnot or whatever, you see Supergirl's Earth get destroyed.
Go away.
She's
these are like the last people, period.
Yeah.
I mean, they even set up based on Earth 38 and we see that get wiped out.
Yeah. I mean, this is really the only way to like clean that up. And it's weird because I don't know. Like, I get it. Supergirl was on CBS for a while and so they didn't want to.
That one made sense.
But Black Lightning, to have Black Lightning not be in the Arrowverse makes zero sense. So I would imagine he's.
Oh, there's so many jokes.
Also, it's weird that like the biggest things of this trailer though are like, I don't care about any of the current. Like the current CW, other than Legends, like I was like, oh, Legends are there, that's cool. But like Arrow and Flash, like they come in,
watching.
And I'm like, I don't care. Get me back to.
I watch Arrow only. I was just talking to Jim about this, like, and I bulk watch Black Lightning every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Like, I was a huge fan of Flash, and also I just fell off.
Yeah, it just got really boring.
There was no Bebo in this trailer, and that is
like I say,
not.
When I'm watching Flash episodes about Cecile and stuff, like, I'm out. Like, Joe West's new wife, like, I'm out.
But then it's hard for people like us who have kind of fallen off of the fandoms to then watch these programs that bring them all together, because there's so many, like, oh my god, moments that we're missing out on.
Yeah.
Because we haven't
seen
them all.
Maybe. But I think, I haven't watched, it's been a while. Like, I've been following loosely through recaps and whatnot.
Yeah.
But this trailer has me, like, I am ready to jump.
I know, same.
And
in.
You
this
can rest
trailer
assured the good thing
with
these crossovers is, like, in the recaps, they'll just recap everything that's relevant to this episode. For you. Like, and you don't have to watch the whole series. So, like,
we should,
whatever
like,
they're going to explore in the Crisis episode. Like, so, like, for the Flash episode of Crisis, they'll recap in the beginning everything that's
relevant. Right, comic book, will you please tweet out something that has every single recap we should watch or read before we watch Infinite Earths, because I really do feel so behind. Like, I'm a big fan of the characters, but I just feel like I don't know how it's all coming together because I haven't been watching recently.
Especially with Arrow, I fell off.
Same.
They've all just, I mean, Flash and Arrow have basically been like, this season, you haven't missed much. It's Barry and Oliver getting ready to die and trying to prepare everybody for them dying, that they might die in Crisis.
Oh no.
So yeah. But that is that. Take a look at that trailer. Take a look at that trailer on comicbook.com. And as Janelle said, maybe we will jump on giving you guys some recaps about what's going on so you can be ready this weekend when Crisis kicks
off. Awesome. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break there. But when we come back, we have a lot of deep diving to do into a bunch of our geek themed TV shows we're keeping up on. Watchmen, The Mandalorian. We got new comics. We got a lot to talk about. So,
and reviews.
And a review. Yeah.
Oh, are we doing that?
We said we were going to do a review.
Oh, yes. I did. So we are doing that. So we really got to move. Stay tuned.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so now that we got to move even faster, let's talk about Watchmen. So we're back. We've been following Watchmen every week, kind of keeping up. And this week, we basically got to the big twist, I would say, of the season. The big twist. Not only is Dr. Manhattan making an appearance in the show this week, but Dr. Manhattan has been in the show the entire time.
Bum, bum, bum.
We figure out, and yeah, we kind of made HBO mad with this one because we wrote up, people were spotting this theory a couple weeks ago when we dug into it, and apparently we were a little too on the money this time.
Wow, bravo!
They're not happy with us, but sorry. HBO, it's a theory. We just guessed, man. Don't punish us for being careful watchers of Watchmen. Who watches the Watchmen? We do. Carefully.
Very and we love it.
Yeah.
Italian.
And that's what you needed to get this show off the ground. So, don't be mad.
But it was really cool the way they did it.
Yeah.
Oh
but
my
it,
gosh.
I mean, and they didn't tell, and we didn't guess everything.
No.
We did not know everything. This episode is really good because it turns out that Dr. Manhattan is actually Angela Abar's sister Knight, our protagonist. It's her husband, Cal. And we don't get the full story that's coming in the next episode. But what we do get is the brushstrokes that tell us that at some point, Dr. Manhattan wanted to just stop being Dr. Manhattan and wanted kind of to be human again. And through some connection with Angela, he made a decision to forget who he was, become a real human being, and kind of incorporated himself into Cal at some point. It looks like that Cal had an accident that would have killed him or something, or he was brain dead or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Manhattan took over kind of his body. He's basically like that little atom symbol of the free-floating atom in the circle, an electron circling it. Basically, you got to go back to biology for that one.
Is he in that, or is that the thing that's blocking the
signal?
I think
that was the thing that was, blocking
okay.
him. Mm-hmm. It was something, some device he created to block it.
By the way, do you know the Excalibur Easter egg?
No, I do not.
Do you guys remember what Excalibur is?
Like King Arthur's sword Excalibur? Yeah. Or
like
no, it's, it is... Lori's fun toy.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
So it's Excalibur. So it's her ex who
well, that
is
makes the tweet I was going to launch tonight after work hours
yo.
Even funnier.
Isn't that crazy?
Because I was going to launch a tweet of that scene of her holding on and be like, the spoiler that it was Yahya Abdul-Martin was revealed weeks ago.
Man, I can't believe that an Easter egg hint for it all was all in Lori's sex toy.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Wow, pretty, that's awesome.
It's crazy.
So that's
well
pretty
done.
Funny. So, that's pretty good. So, we're going to find out more about, Angela life in Vietnam, because this episode gave us brushstrokes of that, which is really super duper tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way the show is transforming the comic book lore of Watchmen. And so in Watchmen, we learn that Dr. Manhattan, the comedian, were influential in winning the Vietnam War in this alternate version of U.S. history. But in this show, we get to see what happens in the aftermath because Angela grew up there. Her dad was a GI and it became the 52nd state of America, and it became a big American hub. But, of course, there was this kind of anti-American vibe and kind of a Fallujah, Middle Eastern thing. So her parents got blown up by a suicide bomber in the beginning. She only survived because she bought a Sister Night tape, and her dad made her take it back to the store. And when she walked away, she survived. Then her grandmother came to get her, the lady from the Hood of Justice episode, and she has a heart attack and dies as they're leaving. It's like her life was getting happy all of a sudden for 1 second. Because she was in an orphanage and mistreated because she's black and Vietnam and so finally she's about to go home and then her what would it be? Great aunt? Grandma? What is this?
Great grandma, right?
Her dad's mother, yeah, her grandma.
Yeah,
so,
her grandmother, yeah.
So, yeah, and she died. So we
That's
have
so
to
sad.
Still kind of finish the piece about how she met Dr. Manhattan and how he bonded with her and kind of became her husband and all that stuff. But this is a great reveal for just a lot of reasons. It really does make the scenes between Angela and Lori
mm-hmm.
So good, especially
the tension.
I think you pointed out when she said her husband's hot.
Lori loves Cal.
Lori was all about Cal.
Cal.
And that was.
I wonder if she knew or if she could just. She just had a, I don't know, feeling.
It's love, man.
It's love.
Yeah. That's well, we're going to see how awkward it gets because, Lori's got to get herself out of a situation because she found out that, you know, Don Johnson's wife is, and I knew that from the beginning, because that lady, nobody ever hires that lady to play a nice person. She's always evil. Like,
but she's great. Yeah, at she that. Is.
It's like,
but,
Sean Bean or whatever. Yeah. It's like, he's always going to die.
Yeah. It's like, always going to turn out to be a psycho.
Somebody said online, they're like, don't ever trust Rose's mom from Titanic, because yeah. She was like the mom from Titanic.
Yeah, no, and like, this is what always happens, is she always turns out evil. And so she turns out to be like really evil in a funny scene with a trap door. Seventh Cavalry, we learn their whole plan is to trap Dr. Manhattan and take his powers and become him. So that, mm-hmm. you know, basically the Klan with godlike powers is like the whole arc to what's going on. And the mysterious lady is trying to do something else with her clock to, I guess,
what is her name? Stop that.
I forget. I always forget her name. Like True or
True.
Something. Lady True.
Yeah.
Lady True.
Like, yeah, everybody so. Say, I've heard another theory that, that the statue is actually where, like, she's keeping him in there, in, like, his own statue of him. Like, True is keeping
Ozymandias.
Yeah, in the statue, instead of on, like, another planet. Like, these clones and stuff are her making. Like, she created all of this. I've also heard a theory that he might be her father. Oh, I've also that. Heard that, the comedian could be her father from back when he was in Vietnam.
That would be really, because... Oh, but he killed that lady, didn't he?
He did, but yeah. What if, I don't know, they saved the baby? Survived?
Oh, that would be so messed up.
Right?
Oof, that would be good.
But perfect in tone for the show.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yes. Absolutely perfect yeah. in tone correct. For the show. So, yeah, the Watchmen intrigue is deepening. Now we got Dr. Manhattan. If you guys were just sitting around like, oh, is this going to have a point? Blah, blah, blah. Yo, we are at
it's got a point.
Some major points. Yeah. Like, yeah. And there's still Looking Glass is running around somewhere out there. We find out he's not dead. And there's squid stuff to still explain. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. And this has gotten Watchmen in the very best way. So it was odd that in the Ozymandias scene, I knew that his only defense thing, I was like, he's going to fart. And
he just, you knew it?
Yeah. Yes. I just knew the look on his face. I was like, looking at my son every day, I was like, he's going to fart or something. Like, yeah.
That storyline is definitely the weirdest one for me. Like, I'm having the hardest time following his storyline. I just want to know what is going on.
This scene was kind of good this week because it was him punishing himself. I mean, he's the one who constructed this whole courtroom. He's the one who commands mm-hmm. all the clones. And so it looks like they're turning against him, but it's really him. It's self-penance.
Yeah, because she winks.
Yeah,
she
just wants to feel the weight of what he done, which was a big thing he says at the end of Watchmen. Like, he's not a villain. He kills all these people. He does it for rational in his mind reasons. And, you know, he's going to accept the penance for that. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what this is, sort of, until the farting part of Bobby. But, yeah. All right. So that's our Watchmen recap. You guys got to tune in because this is almost, season one's almost done. And the point is here. So there you go. Moving right along, we're going to talk real quick about the Mandalorian episode 4. So Baby Yoda cuteness is at an all-time overload.
Yep. Like,
yeah, we got several awesome gifts. The soup
it's
thing.
Just these grown men are like awing at their, oh, I'm sitting next to my boyfriend. He's like, oh my gosh, like a little, and I'm like, wow, this is great. I love seeing like a grown man get so excited about a little Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda's a man.
Like, makes me so happy.
And he's a funny little guy too. Like the scenes where he just appears in the alleyway, like people have done the soup gift, but like when they're just battling each other and they just look up and he's just like staring at them. It's hilarious. Like, and him in the cockpit.
Oh my God.
Buttons.
It just feels Disney.
Yeah, I have a 17-year-old toddler, and yeah, that is basically what my life is all the time right now. He's like attached to me all the time, and like, yes, and he reaches out and does stupid things that can kill us all.
It's the third one that makes me laugh the most because he's staring at him while he reaches back.
It's so like I said, that was done by a parent because that is literally like what my son does now. He just says, I'm like, don't do that again. He just is like, mm hmm. And watches me every time to see like, when am I gonna get up, when am I gonna move, like I could get this done, I can get this done.
That meme that's going around with him just flicking the button on and off with the music and whatnot, I've heard some great stuff.
Oh yeah,
so good. You know.
One of the best is like somebody put on like one's AC/DC and one's like Billie Eilish. and like young Yoda's like trying to play Bad Guy by Billie Eilish. And the Mandalorian keeps flipping it back to AC/DC. And, like,
yeah. Oh my
God. There's one where I think someone did Baby Shark.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, why would you do that?
Anymore. Oh no. Oh man. But So, I mean, same question for Watchmen. It's kind of been hanging over The Mandalorian lately. Does it have a point? Bryce Dallas Howard's just starting out as a director, so, like, let's forgive her just some growing pains and a boom mic gaff.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, the boom mic thing is funny once you spot it. I did not spot it till somebody pointed it out, but when you see it, it does look like somebody's amateur Star Wars fan film.
It's so distracting. I saw that before I watched the episode, so then I was waiting for it the entire episode.
And that's, like, a key scene, so, like, that was bad, but, I forgive her for that because, I mean, this reminded me of this episode of Clone Wars.
But she didn't write the episode, right?
No.
Yeah. To me, it was more of a miss from a story standpoint, not necessarily from a...
I mean, not me. This is like what Clone Wars was like in the early seasons. Very much so. Like, this is almost exactly... Like, this feels like Dave Filoni, like, pulling out a Clone Wars episode. Mm-hmm. And it was something like... I and other people I've had discussions with have said they wanted to see, which is like a kind of a Star Wars version of Magnificent Seven or Seven Samurai, which is exactly what this is, except it's Magnificent Two with Gina Carano and the Mandalorian. Just two people training a bunch of farmers to
who I liked bandits. In that role.
I liked her
Gina
too.
Carano. She was great.
She was great. Snarky, funny, like really handle the action, obviously. But like, yeah, this was like Magnificent Seven, and I think they did a good job of it. And I like the deeper. It's hard to do story stuff with this guy, the Mandalorian, but this one was seeing him vulnerable and consider taking off the helmet, giving up the life, settling down. Like, wouldn't that be cool? And then I didn't like the ending where it was kind of the contrived thing with the sniper and, oh, we're back on the run. But, like, that was the entire point of the episode. Like, I had a moment there.
Yeah. I was worried.
Yeah.
I really am happy that they acknowledged the question that I've had since the beginning. Will he ever take his helmet off? Does he ever take his helmet off? Like when she asked, when's the last time you took off your helmet? He's like, yesterday. So it's not like he sleeps in it. We know this. He just doesn't take it off in front of people. It's all those little things that kind of just drive you nuts in the background. And they answered those for me.
Well, so he does that in episode 3 too, right? Because he's watching Baby Yoda play. And he sets his helmet onto the side out a window. So, yeah, I like those little things of, like, no, you're...
Yeah.
Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great scene. He says yesterday, and she's, like, not buying it. She's, like, in front of people. And he's, like,
And he explains why, which is really great.
So, like, yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, it was very much a slower episode than the one before, but like Matt said when we came in, like it was almost nearly impossible to
be. That episode just was that, so that good.
Episode before. I mean, the episode before was him rescuing Baby Yoda in a major Western shootout.
With an army
of Mandalorians. Yeah, you can't. Like, it's kind of hard to beat
them. So. Yeah.
I don't mind the sign of self-contained, standalone, Clone Wars-y things.
Well, but there was even the, like, waiting for that AT-ST to, like, step into the river, like, they set it up thinking like that was going to happen automatically, and for it to not happen and then not happen again and then not happen until it got close to the very end. I thought it was just a very cool way to build some suspense in that episode that, you know, we hadn't in a different way than what we had seen.
It was behaving kind of like AI though, which made me question, were there pilots in there?
Because I don't think there was a pilot in there. I think it was remote.
I was confused. I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I mean,
yeah.
Either way, they're dead now. I think it did a good job because I cared about, like, the villagers and whether they lived or died.
Yep.
Like, I actually didn't want them to die. So I thought that was kind of a good thing. So I wasn't mad at this episode. Still loving it. Still loving that Baby Yoda vibe.
Baby Yoda.
Might even heal this country after...
There are a whole bunch of Baby Yoda merchandise outside of the really garbage stuff that the Disney store put out went on sale today. So it's on sale now.
Funko revealed their
pop. There's a Funko Pop. There's a plush being sold at Mattel. Or by Mattel at Walmart. Yes. There's a number of other things that are available.
I need that 10-inch pop.
Everyone is going to get fix. Baby Yoda.
But the crazy
Yoda
thing is,
Christmas.
Like, the plush that Mattel is putting out, you're not going to get till May. Who the F is going to care in May?
They will.
They will. Baby Yoda's here.
Baby Yoda will.
Are we still buying Boba Fett stuff? Yeah. So we're going to buy, we're starting buying regular Yoda stuff. So Baby Yoda's going to be here. He's here to stay, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, he might win the presidential election.
I mean, if you're going to measure, like, cute animals and in Star Wars, you know, like people, there was a lot of divisiveness over
I think
ports,
what you're thinking of is like
sold,
yeah, the ports so that are going to be used for cabin fires from now on.
This is
like,
Baby Yoda.
Yeah, so that shell space is gone. Sorry, Porgs. R.I.P. Porgs.
And they still sold a ton of merchandise, even for being so divisive. People hate Porgs, and they still sold. So.
But all right, so that flips it to Matt. Matt, you got a very select amount of time to both review a video game and the new comics of the week. So do your thing. Fast.
So the video game I'll tackle real quick, just because I don't want to go into too much spoiler territory, because the embargo just lifted and it's coming out very, very soon.
I want to play this so bad.
Pokemon Sword and Shield. Arise. Great game. Sorry.
Sword and Shield is a great game. I am not the one that hates on your Pokemon. That person is elsewhere in the office.
I'm getting that game too, so.
It's good.
Arise, from which is Arise, a Simple Story. It's made by Piccolo Studio, and it's actually their first game. Like their first ever studio game. It is stunning. It's such a, like, very much has Journey vibes.
Journey Abzu. Did you play Abzu?
Yes.
Oh, so good.
And also, like, you know, there's like a little like Ori and the Blind Forest. Like, it has that kind of charm to it. This character, your main character, never talks, never says, like, he makes like a sound. But it's amazing what they do with music in this game. Just to give a kind of premise without going into too much spoiler territory, you essentially start the story. This is in the first 5 minutes, by the way. You start the story like on one of those kind of old ceremonial, like Viking funerals. Mm-hmm. So this character just passed or whatever. And you're seeing their life played out in each of these like little vignettes. And each one is themed, has a theme. So like one is, there's this one that's like romance. And aww. So it's like him and like, you know, this person and you see them, one level is like, it's all themed around it. So it's like beautiful blues and pinks and it's flowers and the music's soaring. And then when they go through a trial, there's like heartbreak and a story is like, full of fire and ash and like it's the music and everything is so, you're so in it. It's a 6 hour, maybe 7 to 8. So it's a quick experience. You're in the whole time. And mechanics wise, it's pretty much like a platformer. But on the right stick, you have each world lets you manipulate the world in a different way. So in one level, you can actually bring your rewinding time. So like, it's kind of like Braid in that respect. So
life is strange.
Yeah. So you're rewinding time. So like the rock, you're trying to get it to a certain point and you're going back and forth. Another one has shadows that if you go in the middle of them, they'll like consume you. But there's a fire that rolls through the whole land and you're controlling that. And so you have to move it a little bit further to light your path just enough shadows to dissipate and go through. Like there's all these different, each one. And it tells a amazingly heartfelt story without any dialogue. It's just in these little visuals. There's even, your character's the only like moving character in the world. There's like, they tell the story about these little rock people. It's just amazing. It's like budget price too. I think it's only like 30, maybe 39, but it's just, it's one of those things like, yes, you're not going to get 20, 30 hours out of it, but I feel like any person who owns a PS4 should play this if you want a genuinely like emotional, wonderful story. And this is a very personal story to the studio too. So it comes through. I could not recommend that game.
Hey, if you guys want me to cover that, I'm a streamer.
it's awesome. So definitely.
I definitely want to play it. It looks beautiful.
And very impressive for a studio's first effort. So moving on to comics. So I'll try and run through these real quick here. Dynamite actually has a brand new James Bond. Number one is James Bond 2020. So if you're, you know, a fan of the new movie that's going to come, whatever, it's a perfect jumping on point. Animosity number 25. I still love this series always. And Aftershock just keeps plugging away. This is a wonderful, I don't know if you know what that series is about. It's essentially like on one day, all the animals, they all had human thought.
What?
So like from this day forward, like there's laws now. People don't eat us. Other animals because the animals are like us and like they have their own economy. Like it's this whole thing, right? So number 25 is great. Conan Serpent War. All I have to say here is Moon Knight because Moon Knight's in the series. And so
that's reason enough for me to go read it.
Yeah, I don't even care about have the other people, but it's Moon Knight. We got a trifecta of X-Men books, Excalibur number 3, Marauders number 3, and X-Men number 3.
I hate when Marvel does this.
Man, back-to-back weeks. Like this is kind of killing me. Venom 2099 number 1, Batman number 84. This is like a huge issue as far as explaining how Thomas Wayne from the Flashpoint universe got here, what happened in that universe to lead up to this, why he decided, like, there's a lot of answers that come in this one issue. So if you've been following this, this is definitely one to check out. Justice League number 37, Jaro is in it, and I love Jaro. Also, it's just, this is actually just a really fun, like, battle, huge Legion of Doom versus every hero in the DC universe.
Type it's also an issue that makes way more sense than some of the previous.
Man, it does.
Because this has been a tough read.
This Perpetua stuff has been, but this sums it up. And I think we're nearing the end of this, so I'll be happy. Young Justice number 11 is also, that's just a really good issue. There's not anything huge there. Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1 comes out this week.
Looks great.
It's gorgeous. Simone DiMio, who did Beyond the Grid, just knocks it out of the park. And also, if you're a fan of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, this Raphael in both personality and look. They even mention his trench coat from the movie. Like, there's so many lines that are just right out of there. And then Buffy number 10 for Boom Studios. So that is comics this week.
Wow.
I got through a lot, right?
Buddy. Yeah.
I got through a lot. All right.
You got through a lot really quick. Good job.
Booyah.
All right. So Matt did all that because we come to the end of our regular part of the show. But as promised, we are waiting for Janelle to get back from the holiday season so we could read some of these reviews. You've never been a part of this. So now you get to kind of bask in the accolades and or shame of what we've done as we read some of these. So if we read your 5-star review right now, you are getting a free comicbook.com, Comic Book Nation t-shirt. All you have to do is contact editor@comicbook.com. We need your real name, your shirt size, and your home address so we can ship it out to you. Give it about a month to a month and a half to ship out. 4 to 6 weeks, business weeks to ship out because, we need to get all this.
Especially over the holidays. Yeah.
Yeah, over the holidays. Yeah. Packages everywhere. So we'll start with one that's just a Vulcan sign and a kind of, awesome sign, hand emoji sign by a Wakandan mutant. And it says, 5 stars. It's my nerd brain in podcast form.
Oh,
very
nice.
Succinct, very accurate.
Like that.
Love it.
Very nice.
Okay, so this one is called The Superhero of Podcasts by Rugby Nation. Do you love comics, movies, TV? Do you love Marvel, DC, and Star Wars? This is a must listen, not your amateur podcast. No. These folks are professional nerds with great access to everyone who makes our nerd dreams come true. I can't stress enough. Must listen.
I'm going to cry.
Liza, did you write that one? See, it's like it's on our social media feeds. Liza handles all our social media and getting us exposure out there. Did you write that one? Is that you? No? You sure?
sounded like
we're social media advertisements. But if it's a real review, thank you. Joker review. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I started listening because I love the Joker movie and wanted to listen to other opinions about the movie.
It's really long.
The Joker review was intense. Although I absolutely love the movie, I was trying to listen to the negative opinions, but update. There's an update. There's a long thing, and then it says, I wrote the review above 1 week ago, but I didn't know that you guys had episodes up on YouTube, so I went to check out the heated Joker review discussion. I learned everyone's name, and I completely 1,000,000% agree with Kofi and Brandon, but I cold-heartedly disagree with Charlie. Let's just leave it there. We're going to go Charlie Ridgely. We're going to tell you about this one. Yeah, but he loved it because he loved the opinions and loved us clashing. I'll condense that one for time. But thank you.
Yes.
And thank you for acknowledging me and Brandon were right and Charlie was so wrong about Joker. That's very important. The Best by Stu Taylor. No podcast out there mixes the best of genre TV shows and films in addition to actual comic book talk quite like this group. Oh, man. Thank you.
Wow. Yes.
Thank you by James Mark James Mark 85. Sorry. All I got to say is you guys are great. I got out of comic book reading, and now that I've been listening to you guys, I'm back in. You guys are in depth with everything. I look forward to your podcast. Thanks again.
That's so sweet.
Bowman 89, Ultimate Dive into the Nerdy Universe. This is absolutely the best nerd podcast. Whether it's Marvel movies or comics, DC movies or comics, wrestling, gaming, or anything around or in between these topics. I've seen other podcasts that say that. This podcast feels like hanging out with friends, and I can't agree more. I haven't been reading comics lately, but this podcast got me back on the train.
Dude, that's awesome.
A while ago, the spoilers were killing me, and I almost had to stop listening, but the fact that both the hosts and producers have listened to the fans and put in ample spoiler warnings shows how much they continue to grow. Very much a job well done, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your hard work and great entertainment.
Aww.
That is really kind.
Oh, man, you guys are off with all this.
That's a nice one.
And
we got
last but not
coping.
Least, great for commuting. The group covers not only comics, but TV and films related to comics and pop culture. I find this a great listen on Wednesday when I'm driving to my favorite comic shop or grabbing lunch beforehand. It really gets me in the mood and clues me in on my books I might not already have on my pull list.
Nice.
Shout out to the Wednesday episode where we get, shout out to Jill and the
Yay!
Wednesday episodes.
That
excited
was
to be a part
from
of it.
Steve C50.
Yeah, Steve C50. Some guy that Jim pays, apparently. All right.
Well, you didn't mention his name. I want to make sure he knows.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to make sure he knows to email
him. Unfortunately, we lost one.
Oh, no.
And not to end on a dour note, but I thought this is actually a backdoor good review for you, Matt. We lost one because there's simply not enough Matt in this podcast. Aww. I've been following the Comic Book Nation podcast, 3-star review still. I've been a few dozen episodes at this point, and although I find the discussions generally enjoyable and the hosts reasonably knowledgeable, that's a backhand insult, but thank you, I've decided to unsubscribe as it's not really what I'm looking for in a podcast. This is really more of a general entertainment podcast than a comics podcast, with only one host following the weekly comic releases, so I find myself skipping to the last 10% of episodes runtime to hear about comics, but since none of the other hosts are reading them, there's effectively no discussion. I feel that the episode runtime mostly favors television and discussion, and that comics are given only slight more attention than WWE and anime. I will check back at some point, but for now, too much of CBN is monopolized by content I can find almost anywhere. In other words, not enough Matt.
In other words, not enough gaming news.
Not enough Matt time in our episodes, which, you know, is something I say often. I wish I could just make a whole podcast of Matt. But
same here. I agree.
But that's something in the works for next year, 2020.
2020. All Matt. But
thank you for listening to the comic stuff, because that's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to hear more about Matt, just hit him up. Matt Aguilar CB. You
can talk me up on
comics
Twitter
with that guy all day. Which brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for taking the Comic Book Nation ride with us. If you are just now getting in the show, as you heard in the reviews, we do new episodes every Wednesday and every Friday on comicbook.com, where you subscribe to our RSS feed for new episodes, or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists. You can tell your Amazon Alexa devices to fire up Comic Book Nation Podcast or catch us on the YouTube. If you want to continue the discussion with us, you can hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation or find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And you can find me at Janelle Wheeler.
Twitch.
And Twitch. Yeah, on Twitch, yes. And I'm hoping to play that game.
Yeah. Throw that in.
Arise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Sony.
I just started Ghostbusters, by the way, last night, and it is amazing. It's like the third movie.
Awesome.
Wait, the remastered?
The Ghostbusters remastered, the video game. It's like exclusively at GameStop. It's a good game.
Now on YouTube, we have Ghostbusters coming this week. New trailer. We talked about it plenty. Now I forget where I am. We just read a bunch of reviews, but if you guys want to get in on the next round of t-shirt sendouts, be sure to go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and let us know how you feel. I mean, if you have other views, leave them. Obviously, we'll check those out too.
Yeah.
But otherwise, thank you guys for tuning in once again. Hope you had a good holiday, and we're happy you're back with us. This has been Comic Book Nation, and we're out.
Deuces.
Deuces.